Chapter 12. As she walked back toward her wing of the palace, Cressa added up her knowledge and guesses. She had instinctively made her decision hours earlier. Now she had to hope that her performance for the Circle Council had thrown them off enough so that she would have sufficient time to act. She recognised the soldier escorting her as a member of her shield, and two more stood outside her suite. She heard laughter from Cerulea's chambers.
Mama!
Cerulea rushed to her when she opened the door.
Sina and Pontol are so much fun! I am teaching them to play oblongs and squares. Will you order them to play with me more?
Cressa knelt to hug her daughter.
I am so pleased you passed a pleasant day. I want you to tell me about it. Just one moment.
Cressa drew the soldiers to her. In a low voice, she said,
Sina, find Captain Clemson and tell him I need all the Queen's shield to ride with me now.
Then give Bristle this precise message. 'Tis time to finish the matter we discussed on our ride today.
Very good, Your Highness, said Sina.
Turning around, she said,
Princella, we have some duties, but we will play with you again soon.
Brushing off Cerulea's protests, Cressa crossed through the passageway of Lost Babes into her own bedchamber. A lantern glowed, and a bed warmer peeked out from under the foot of her bed. Her nightclothes warmed on a screen in front of the fire. She felt exhausted. The room looked so toasty and inviting. Nonetheless, she grabbed a travelling case from the top of her wardrobe. She stuffed in some undersmocks and hose, a night shift, a cloak, her boots, and her dagger. She moved to her dressing table to grab those jewels that were at hand, rather than in the royal vault. Next, she grabbed a hairbrush. On the table stood a bottle filled with a dark liquid. When she picked it up, she saw a note below it that read, Hair dye. Acorns, coal tar, bergamot oil. Cressa heard a quiet rap on the door, and then the sound of someone opening it without waiting for response. She just had time to drop the travelling case behind her full skirt and stand in front of the dressing table as Gisilla entered and curtsied.
Your Majesty, I thought I heard you in here. Why didn't you ring for me?
Normal procedure would be for a maid to undo her hair and help the queen undress.
Ah, Gisilla,
Cressa replied, forcing her voice to sound casual.
I'm not quite ready yet. I need to dictate a letter. Go fetch Chronicler Sewell for me.
Gisilla took another step deeper into the room.
Why don't I send Ticklock, Your Majesty? I just saw him down the hallway. That way I can start on your hair while we wait for him. Or Lady Fanya writes a fair hand, and her quarters lie much closer. That way I could help you unlace and...
Gisilla, said Cressa, forcing herself to sound calm.
I'd like you to go.
It is very late to be summoning my chronicler. Sending my personal maid shows respect.
As does keeping myself dressed. I would rather not receive him in night clothes.
Just do as you're bid, now,
the Queen added, in a tone that accurately conveyed her weary impatience. Gisilla departed with a flounce. Cressa placed the stoppered bottle in the travelling bag. For an instant she thought of changing out of her grey gown, but it would take too long to unpin, unlace and unhook, especially without help. Crossing through the passageway to the Princella's room, she instructed Nana to add similar things of Cerulea's to the case, while her daughter looked on confused. Cressa felt the seconds ticking away. Cressa drew Nana to her in a deep hug. First, she wiped Nana's memory of the afternoon at West Garden. Then she whispered,
I have always loved you, my Nana. You have been dearer to me than my own mother. You have been my rock and my refuge.
Nana rubbed her back.
Oh, my own? Would that I...
Reluctantly, the Queen broke away. She addressed her daughter.
Cerulea,
give Nana a hug. We are off adventuring for a while.
But what about my cats and dogs? Can we take them with us?
Surely Nana will take the best care of them until you return.
Can't we go tomorrow?
The child looked toward her four-poster. No, Cerulea. We must leave right now. Nana knelt. Her daughter hugged her distractedly, her lip just starting to tremble.
Watch Naki's cut and make sure Zizi doesn't get fat.
Give me a kiss, my heart's own, said Nana. Cerulea kissed her and then stroked her wrinkled cheek, staring at her solemnly.
I'll miss you, Nana, she said.
Over Cerulea's head, Nana said to Cressa, May the waters keep ye safe. I will be waiting right here. Cressa touched three fingers of her right hand to her lips, then to her royal stone that glimmered on her forehead, and then spread the palm toward Nana. The Queen's blessing. A farewell gesture only used at special partings. Then she grabbed Cerulea's hand and rushed her out of the room. Captain Clemson and three other shields awaited them in the hallway. All the guards had turned their cloaks inside out so that instead of showing the bright blue royal insignia, they looked black. Some had rucksacks on their backs. Clemson took the case from the Queen and handed it off to Shield Kinley. Then he took her elbow in one hand and Cerulea's hand in the other and set off down the corridor. Cressa looked over her shoulder. Ticklock emerged from the shadows of a doorway. When he saw her glance, he bowed low. Cressa mouthed, Thank you, to him.